Daniel, really appreciate. Thanks so much for jumping on the show today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Well, I caught your intro there. I passed out at 9:30 last night, so I'm not sure how I'm going to sleep for this one. It'll be need those toothpicks to keep the eyelids open or something like that, regardless of how good the game is tonight.
Do we know why it's starting this late? I'm just going to give the obvious answer, some sort of TV deal with sponsors and money.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually the way it works. From what I was told, it's a kind of an ESPN decision. I don't want to say that unequivocally, but, You know, they're starting their Eastern game late too, on a Friday night, at 8:00, Carolina versus, the Rangers. But like, to me, I sort of get like, you want one game to bleed into the other, but you're really wrecking, you know, the television audience for both sides. I mean, you mentioned in the East, 10:45, well, there's not too many people that are going to even stay up to watch the start of that game, let alone the end. But here in Alberta, yeah. I mean, you got 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds that are excited for this matchup, and they're not going to even be up to see the puck drop, let alone the end of the game. You're just completely ruining what's a tremendous series, something that's been, you know, people have been waiting for 31 years. And as I just tweeted out, I mean, you got Connor McDavid in the second round for the second time in his career. And who the heck's watching this game? It just makes no sense to me. Like, I'd rather, people having to choose between the third period of the Rangers Hurricanes game and the start of this game and at least get more people engaged. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
And beyond that, I'm just going to say it, okay? No one cares about New York and Carolina. Like, unless you got money on it, you're in some sort of fantasy pool, or you live in the general area, for the rest of us, for everyone, every other hockey fan without a dog in the race, everyone wants to see Edmonton, Calgary. No one wants to see the Rangers in Carolina.
Yeah, I focused on the Oilers here and Connor McDavid, but I mean, the Calgary Flames have been a tremendous team all year, and you have the one of, you know, Matthew Tkachuk and Johnny Gaudreau who cracked 100
yes.
points. So
I mean,
these are, you know, it's not like one good team and one not, or one star against a bunch of schlubs. Like, these are two very good teams. Although, I mean, if you watch the Oilers playing good in game one, you might not think along those lines, but certainly a huge rivalry that the league has tried to promote by having the playoff format the way it is. And again, to have this game start at the time that it does makes zero sense to me. At least game three, it's a 6:00 local start, 8:00 in the East. That helps, but tonight, game two, a very important game, it makes no sense.
Yeah, 100%. I care more about the Tkachuk family in the crowd than I do about Sebastian Aho. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. Anyway, okay, so let's talk about, by the way, God, I hope Matthew Tkachuk scores just for that alone. Daniel Nushbaum, who covers the Oilers for The Athletic, what sort of leash does Mike Smith have tonight?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I would say if the start is anything like the last one, he'll be out of the game. But, you know, this is a guy that has had a very tough season, as people out east probably know. And a lot of that's been because of injury. I mean, he missed basically the entire first half of the season. Then he struggled a little bit coming back. But he really turned a corner toward the end of March and even into early April. I mean, he was the NHL's second star of the month for April. 9.51 save percentage with 2 shutouts in that month. And then other than his game one puck handling gaffe, which I'm sure everyone saw against the Los Angeles Kings, of course, he was very good in that series. 9.38, 2 shutouts. Certainly a fairly big reason why they won that game. And, earlier in the playoffs, head coach Jay Woodcroft was being a little bit more coy with how he would go, run his goaltenders. And if Mike Smith was going to start game two, even after that gaffe, unequivocally, you know, threw his sports behind Mike Smith yesterday. You said that he and the team believed in him. I think he'll, you know, he'll get some runway. Of course, if it's 3 goals against in 9 shots, like it was in game one, I think he'll be out. But, I think they're going to give him, you know, the opportunity to, to rebound after that tough game the other night.
If you are an Edmonton fan searching for optimism, is it as simple as the fact that they put 6 goals all even strength against Markstrom?
I think so, but to me, that was a real missed opportunity for them because I don't think Jacob Markstrom's going to play that badly again. I mean, the quality of chances that Calgary that Edmonton had against Calgary in that game were not very good. I mean, there were two or three really lousy goals that, Markstrom allowed. So I don't think they're going to kind of be able to pump six past him again. And so, again, I think it was a, just a real missed opportunity. Same with the last time these two teams faced off here, March 26th, where they got five past Markstrom and lost that game, you know, with not allowing nine against as well. The one, I guess, good thing for the Oilers or room to grow is their power play was absolutely atrocious in game one. And that's a real important factor for this team. Third in the regular season, first the last 2 years before that. You know, this team really dines off the power play, and they were 0-4 and really got nothing going. So if they can get that power play going, that, could help certainly spark the offense. But there's no question when you allow nine goals the last two games against this team, it starts in the defensive end, and that's where the Oilers are hoping to make some significant improvements there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Captain obvious, of course.
Yeah. Listen, it happens this time of year. We all do it. Right now, what is the health status, Darnell Nurse and Leon Draisaitl?
Not great. I mean, certainly on Leon Draisaitl's point of view, he has not skated, you know, in a practice or morning skate since sustaining that injury in game six against the Los Angeles Kings in the first period there. It's clearly he's trying to get through this we believe a right ankle injury, certainly, you know, leg at the very worst on the right side. Yeah, I mean, we all know how important Leon Draisaitl is for this team. And what's really troubling is, save for a handful of shifts here or there, he has not been able to center a line. And that's really kind of limited the Oilers' depth. And you know, especially a team like Calgary that has three solid scoring lines, it really hampers what the Oilers can do. You know, you might be able to get through the Los Angeles Kings that are not as experienced, a little slower, you know, maybe not as much depth, but Calgary is a different animal. And it's clear he's going to keep playing the wing. He didn't skate again this morning, but a placeholder, Devin Shore, took his spot beside Connor McDavid and Vander Kane. We think Leon Draisaitl will take that spot, obviously, with those two guys. And so, yeah, you know, not having it center really hurts this team, and we don't think he'll be able to do much of that. Darnell Nurse sustained a lower body injury four games to go, or missed the last four games, I should say, in the regular season. And just, you know, it's clear he's, you know, he really, the hallmarks of his game are his skating and his physical play, and we haven't seen nearly as much of that from him in this series, or at least in game one, and a little bit in the Kings series as well. So his minutes are way down. He didn't, you know, he played, it was either the eighth or the ninth most of any Oiler, in game one. And he's a guy that was 12th in the league in average ice time at over 25 minutes during the regular season. So when you take your number one defenseman and kind of limit, or he is limited by what he can do, not only that, but you're clearly your second best forward. The Oilers are really up against it, I think, in this series.
Do they have the capability? Because as you mentioned, you know, Mike Smith has had some great moments against the Kings. Now, Calgary is obviously a much better team offensively than LA is. But the everyone in front of them, and I'll include Connor McDavid in this, who's been incredible, you know, who's been a machine. Like just every, he's so good, he puts up 3 points and we get bored by it. I mean, that's how good he is. But does this team have the ability to, you know, not allow 27 slot shots? Like, does this team have the ability to actually become defensively responsible against this specific Calgary team?
I mean, they do. We saw the in the March, I think it was 7th or 9th game, the one before the big drubbing here in the regular season. You know, they played pretty well defensively. Not too bad at 5-on-5 either. They might have had the upper hand against the Flames at 5-on-5, just their special teams were not good, you know, at either the power play or the penalty kill that night. Certainly it'll take a lot more than what the Oilers offered in game one. You know, they want to be stronger along the net, you know, in front of the net and not allowing nearly as many chances off the rush. Like they need to do a better job, you know, having the forwards come back through the neutral zone and kind of help the defense in that regard. But yeah, it's a complete, you know, team effort in that regard. I mean, obviously the goaltending, as we talked about, wasn't good in either of those two games, the regular season one or game one. So do they have the ability to do it? Yeah, I think they do. It's just going to be very challenging, again, when you have Draisaitl and Nurse that are banged up. And clearly Calgary has more depth around the lineup and, you know, pretty much every position compared to the Oilers. So they can do it, but it'll be a challenge, and certainly one that they're going to have to take on in order to even the series here.
Speaking of challenges, what is your process tonight? Will you be able to stay awake for the game? I don't even know. Maybe you're in Calgary. I'm not sure. Or is this a PVR, do it the next Monday? Like, what, Daniel, is your approach to tonight?
Yeah, no, I'm in Calgary, so it would be not the greatest look for me if I fell asleep in the press box. So,
yes.
I think I'll be able to stay awake. I'm confident. I tried to get a half decent sleep last night. I'm not a coffee drinker, so that works to my disadvantage, I think. But I might have to kind of find a alternative solution there. But when the games are, if the horn's going to keep going off nine times, or fans cheering for nine goals, I think I'll be able to stay awake. So if the Flames continue to pump as many goals as they have on the Oilers, I'm sure I will. But I think even in all seriousness, Vander Kane said, I like our chances if we don't give up nine goals. I don't think they're going to do that again tonight. I'll try to be bold and say that it won't happen for a third straight game. But, there's enough going on here at the rink and with this rivalry that I'm confident that the Islanders will stay open.
I love that quote by Evander Kane. I was giggling at it the whole time. It is a bold, hot take. You know, it'd be hilarious if Edmonton loses then like 11-10 tonight. Well, Kane, you're wrong. But anyway, hopefully that doesn't happen, because if there's 21 goals scored in the game, you'll be there till 4 in the morning. Daniel, really appreciate. Follow him on Twitter, at DMB Sports. Read his work with The Athletic, covering the Oilers. All the best. Good luck. And feel free to tweet out photos of sports media writers who have fallen asleep in the third period.
I'll keep my eyes open for it. Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.